Welcome to day 62 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have been journeying with the children of Israel through the wilderness as they've wandered here in the book of Numbers. And so today we're reading from the New American Standard Bible, and we are beginning at Numbers chapter 18, verse 1. So the Lord said to Aaron, "You and your sons and your father's household with you shall bear the guilt in connection with the sanctuary, and you and your sons with you shall bear the guilt in connection with your priesthood. But bring with you also your brothers, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may be joined with you and serve you, while you and your sons with you are before the tent of the testimony. And they shall thus attend to your obligation and the obligation of all the tent, but they shall not come near to the furnishings of the sanctuary and the altar, or both they and you will die. They shall be joined with you and attend to the obligations of the tent of meeting for all the service of the tent, but an outsider may not come near you. So you shall attend to the obligations of the sanctuary and the obligations of the altar, so that there will be no longer be wrath on the sons of Israel. Behold, I myself have taken your fellow Levites from among the sons of Israel. They are a gift to you, dedicated to the Lord, to perform the service for the tent of meeting. But you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood, for everything concerning the altar and inside the veil, and you are to perform service. I am giving you the priesthood as a bestowed service, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death." Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, "Now, behold, I myself have given you charge of my offerings. Even all the holy gifts of the sons of Israel, I have given them to you as a portion, and to your sons as a perpetual allotment. This shall be yours from the most holy gifts reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, even every grain offering and every sin offering and every guilt offering which they shall render to me, shall be most holy for you and for your sons. As the most holy gifts, you shall eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy to you. This also is yours, the offering of their gift, even all the wave offerings of the son of Israel. I have given them to you and to your sons and daughters with you as a perpetual allotment. Every one of your household who is clean may eat it. All the best of the fresh oil and all the best of the fresh wine and of the grain, the first fruits of those which they give to the Lord, I give them to you. The first ripe fruits of all those which they give to the Lord, I give them to you. The first ripe fruits of all that is in their land which they bring to the Lord shall be yours. Every one of your household who is clean may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. Every first issue of the womb of all flesh, whether man or animal, which they offer to the Lord shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall surely redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall surely redeem. As to their redemption price, from a month old you shall redeem them by your valuation, 5 shekels in silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstborn of an ox, or the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar, and shall offer up their fat in smoke as an offering by fire, for a soothing aroma to the Lord. Their meat shall be yours. It shall be yours like the breast of a wave offering and like the right thigh. All the offerings of the holy gifts which the sons of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you and your sons and your daughters with you as a perpetual allotment. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord to you and your descendants with you." Then the Lord said to Aaron, "You shall have no inheritance in their land, nor own any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the sons of Israel. To the sons of Levi, Behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance, in return for their service which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting. The sons of Israel shall not come near the tent of meeting again, or they will bear sin and die. Only the Levites shall perform the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and among the sons of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithe of the sons of Israel, which they offer as an offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore I have said concerning them, they shall have no inheritance among the sons of Israel. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Moreover, you shall speak to the Levites and say to them, When you take from the sons of Israel the tithe, which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present an offering from it to the Lord, a tithe of the tithe. Your offering shall be reckoned to you as the grain from the threshing floor or the full produce from the wine vat. So you shall also present an offering to the Lord from your tithes, which you receive from the sons of Israel, and from it you shall give the Lord's offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts you shall present every offering due the Lord, from all the best of them, the sacred part from them. You shall say to them, When you have offered from it the best of it, then the rest shall be reckoned to the Levites as the product of the threshing floor and as the product of the wine vat. You may eat it anywhere, you and your households, for it is your compensation in return for your service in the tent of meeting. You will bear no sin by reason of it when you have offered the best of it. But you shall not profane the sacred gifts of the sons of Israel, or you will die. Chapter 19. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, This is the statute of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel that they bring you an unblemished red heifer in which is no defect and on which a yoke has never been placed. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, and it shall be brought outside the camp and be slaughtered in his presence. Next, Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood toward the front of the tent of meeting 7 times. Then the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its hide and its flesh and its blood with its refuse shall be burned. The priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet material and cast it into the midst of the burning heifer. The priest shall then wash his clothes and bathe his body in water and afterward come into the camp. But the priest shall be unclean until evening. The one who burns it also shall wash his clothes in water and bathe his body in water and shall be unclean until evening. Now a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and deposit them outside the camp in a clean place, and the congregation of the sons of Israel shall keep it as water to remove impurity. It is purification from sin. The one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening, and it shall be a perpetual statute to the sons of Israel and to the alien who sojourns among them. The one who touches the corpse of any person shall be unclean for 7 days. That one shall purify himself from uncleanness with the water on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, and then he will be clean. But if he does not purify himself on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, he will not be clean. Anyone who touches a corpse, the body of a man who has died, and does not purify himself, defiles the tabernacle of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from Israel. Because the water for impurity was not sprinkled on him, he shall be unclean. His uncleanness is still on him. This is the law when a man dies in a tent. Everyone who comes into the tent and everyone who is in the tent shall be unclean for 7 days. Every open vessel which has no covering tied down on it shall be unclean. Also, anyone who in the open field touches one who has been slain with a sword or who has died naturally or a human bone, or a grave shall be unclean for 7 days. Then, for the unclean person, they shall take some of the ashes of the burnt purification from sin, and flowing water shall be added to them in a vessel. A clean person shall take hyssop and dip it into the water and sprinkle it on the tent and on all the furnishings and on the persons who were there and on the one who touched the bone or the one slain or the one dying naturally or the grave. Then the clean person shall sprinkle on the unclean on the third and the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify him from uncleanness. And he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and shall be clean by evening. But the man who is unclean and does not purify himself from uncleanness, that person shall be cut off from the midst of the assembly, because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water for impurity has not been sprinkled on him. He is unclean. So it shall be a perpetual statute for them. And he who sprinkles the water for impurity shall wash his clothes. And he who touches the water for impurity shall be unclean until evening. Furthermore, anything that the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and the person who touches it shall be unclean until evening. Chapter 20. Then the sons of Israel, the whole congregation, came to the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed at Kadesh. Now Miriam died there and was buried there. There was no water for the congregation, and they assembled against Moses and Aaron. The people thus contended with Moses and spoke, saying, "If only we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord, why then have you brought the Lord's assembly into this wilderness for us and our beasts to die here? Why have you made us come up from Egypt to bring us to this wretched place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there water to drink." Then Moses and Aaron came in from the presence of the assembly to the doorway of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the rod, and you and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation, and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. You shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. And he said to them, "Listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." Those were the waters of Meribah, because the sons of Israel contended with the Lord, and he proved himself holy among them. From Kadesh, Moses then sent messengers to the king of Edom. "Thus your brother Israel has said, 'You know all the hardship that has befallen us, that our fathers went down to Egypt, and we stayed in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians treated us and our fathers badly. But when we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and brought us out from Egypt. Now behold, we are at Kadesh, a town on the edge of your territory. Please, let us pass through your land. We will not pass through field or through vineyard. We will not even drink water from a well. We will go along the king's highway, not turning to the right or left until we pass through your territory.' Edom, however, said to him, 'You shall not pass through us, or I will come out with the sword against you.' Again, the sons of Israel said to him, 'We will go up by the highway, and if I and my livestock do drink any of your water, then I will pay its price. Let me only pass through on my feet, nothing else.' But he said, 'You shall not pass through. And Edom came out against him with a heavy force and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to allow Israel to pass through his territory, so Israel turned away from him. Now when they set out from Kadesh, the sons of Israel, the whole congregation, came to Mount Hor. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron at Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron will be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the sons of Israel, because you rebelled against my command at the waters of Meribah. Take Aaron and his son Eleazar and bring them up to Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments and put them on his son Eleazar. So Aaron will be gathered to his people and will die there. So Moses did just as the Lord had commanded, and they went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. After Moses had stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on his son Eleazar, Aaron died there on the mountaintop. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. When all the congregation saw that Aaron had died, all the house of Israel wept for Aaron 30 days. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, we find an incident that's probably one of the saddest incidents that we find during this entire journey of the children of Israel to the promised land. We started out the book of Numbers in the beginning, about the second year into their time in the wilderness of Sinai. And now in this chapter, we are up to the place where they are quite nearing the end of their 40 years, and Moses and Aaron are nearing the end of their lives. Miriam, their sister, died. Then we saw Moses's brother Aaron died. And now Moses is left with the people of Israel. And another time comes, like many that he had already encountered in the past, where they came to a place called the Waters of Meribah. And it's a place where there was contention between the people because they didn't have any fresh water. And Moses was frustrated with these people and their continual complaining. And so the Lord instructed Moses to take the rod, and that Moses and his brother Aaron, this is right before Aaron died, were to take all the congregation of Israel over to this rock. And Moses was clearly instructed by the Lord, speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. You shall bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink. Well, in the book of Exodus, a similar situation had arisen. And in that particular incident, the Lord told Moses to take his rod and strike the rock, and that when he did, water would pour out sufficiently, supplying the people of Israel and all of their livestock. So here, Moses is told again, go to this rock over here, a different rock in a different place. And this time, the instruction from the Lord was, speak to the rock, and it will bring forth water for them. Moses disobeyed the Lord, as you saw, as we read here. And you could tell that he was dealing with the people out of anger, because the words that he uses were angry words. The scripture tells us he said to them, listen now, you rebels, shall we bring water forth for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their animals all drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sights of Israel, the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I've given them. From that point forward, Moses and Aaron were both banished from being able to enter the promised land, though they were almost there. And that was a sad, sad day Aaron died shortly after that, and Moses was relegated to watching the people go in, or at least looking over from the hillside, which we'll find in a few chapters, and watching where the people would go, but not being allowed to enter in himself. What happened here? Moses had been such a faithful man of God. He had interceded for the people. He'd obeyed the Lord. He brought these people. And yet we find that in his anger, he dishonored the Lord. In his anger, he spoke harshly to the Israelites. And in his anger, he did not do what God told him to do. He disobeyed the Lord. In his anger, he just struck the rock with his rod twice instead of speaking to it. And the scriptures tell us a few things about this incident, and we actually find it in a couple different places. First of all, Numbers 20:12 tells us that the Lord says, "You didn't believe me," meaning specifically that the Lord told him to speak to the rock, and he didn't believe God would do it, bring forth water just from him speaking. So he repeated what he had done before, what the Lord had told him before, to strike the rock. So he didn't believe God was going to do it just with speaking to the rock. And that was unbelief on Moses' part. Secondly, he didn't treat the Lord as holy in this incident because he didn't obey the Lord before them. And then he just plain rebelled against the word of the Lord by his disobedience. So anger was really at the root of all of this. However, in fact, in Psalm 106, it tells us, when recounting this incident of the people of Israel, it says they angered him, and was talking about Moses, also at the waters of strife, or angered the Lord at the waters of strife, which is what Meribah means, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they, the people, provoked his spirit so that he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. So this scripture gives us a little more insight. It says they made God angry, but they also made Moses angry. They provoked him. And so when he was provoked and he let his anger loose, he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. You know, when you're angry, you will say things you regret later. This is absolutely a truth. Benjamin Franklin once said, "Whatever is begun in anger ends in shame." And that is the truth. This is the story of Moses here. It began in anger and it ended in the shame of him being forbidden to enter the promised land, the place that he had worked so hard to bring the people to this point, and yet he loses his opportunity because of the sin, this sin of anger, the sin of disobeying the Lord, the sin of dishonoring the Lord in front of the people. And that was very serious. And for a leader, it's a critical issue. Why, it may seem like an overkill response to this sin, maybe in our eyes, but in God's eyes it wasn't, because the standard to which the Lord holds leaders, spiritual leaders, is very high. And if they don't do right by God because they're in front of the people, they're giving their example to the people of obedience to the Lord, of honoring the Lord, of faith in God's word, if they do not do these things, then they have a consequence themselves from that. And that's a very serious matter in the eyes of the Lord. Moses was the prophet of God to these people, God's spokesman, God's mouthpiece. And because of this, he ended up getting the same penalty as the unbelieving Israelites who refused to enter the promised land a few chapters back when God told them to go in. And so he ended up reaping the same penalty that they reaped, which was they were not going to be allowed to go in the promised land. They were going to be destined to die in the wilderness. And that's exactly what Moses ended up receiving as well, for not believing God at that moment. And that was this is a very sad story. But I want to point something out to you. This issue of anger is really a serious one. You know, we see lots of people become angry act in an angry fashion, anger with their children, anger with other people at work, a boss that is very harsh, who speaks angrily to his subordinates, maybe a coworker who becomes angry at another employee, and a teacher that doesn't handle the rebellious student well and speaks with anger and harshness toward that child. These are all examples that we see every day in life with this sin of anger. And God Himself does not like this issue. It's not God's will for us to have a spirit of anger. It is not God's will. Truly, it brings shame, as that quote that I gave you, whatever starts in anger ends in shame. It brings shame on the person. You know, if you've ever been married to an angry person, that's got to be one of the most difficult home environments to live in, to live with an angry person. If you were raised by an angry parent, it's one of the most crushing to the spirit of a child, anger being unleashed on a child. If you struggle with this sin of anger, go to the Lord. He is able to remove that thing from your heart. You have to be willing to crucify the flesh and not allow yourself to become so easily provoked. It's something that you have to surrender every day. But I tell you, if you are a parent or a spouse, you're hurting people through your anger. If you're a boss and you become angry at work with your employees, you're hurting people with your anger. It hurts the person the anger is unleashed upon, but it also hurts the angry one, because there's always a consequence. It breaks relationship and it creates all kinds of difficulties. We know just from scientific studies that anger is often associated with bringing on heart attacks and heart disease. So there's physical consequences to anger being something in your life. So God wants us to have a spirit of peace, have a spirit of reconciliation, not be judgmental. Moses put himself in the place of the judge in this incident here in the book of Numbers, where when he said to the way that he spoke to the people, it was very clear he was judging them. He became their judge at that very moment. And then he also took it on himself. He says, "Listen now, you rebels." He's judging them right there. It's not his place to be their judge. That was God's place. It was his place to be their leader, to be their intercessor, to teach them the ways of the Lord, and not to react out of the flesh as he did in this instance. But I just want to encourage you today, if you struggle with anger, go to the Lord with that, because I guarantee you, you're not only hurting yourself, as Moses hurt himself in this case, but you're hurting those around you. And it's a serious thing. God wants to help you with that, and he's able to do it. God bless you. Give you a great day.